clock, but there was a little bit of a technical difficulty. We lost one of our speakers. She lost power in her home. So we, I think, now have her back, and hopefully all of you are in here now. So we'll go ahead and get started. First of all, welcome everybody to the Women's Giving Circle of Howard County's virtual happy hour. I'm Barb Van Winkle, chair of the Women's Giving Circle Advisory Board, and we are absolutely thrilled and honored to be hosting this event to support and celebrate Black Philanthropy Month. So thank you. I do want to thank a couple people just right in the beginning that have helped us organize and execute this wonderful night. First, I want to thank our co-chairs of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee for Women's Giving Circle, Judy Smith and Henna Nazim. These two women have totally taken ownership of the committee, and they are helping us integrate DEI to lens to and through all of our work that we're doing. They have an amazing committee of wonderful people that are doing great work. So thank you, ladies. Next, I want to thank Melinda Madzell, who is on the DEI committee. She quickly stepped up to take the leadership role of the subcommittee that is doing the profiles for the 31 days in August. She is passionate about this project and has done an outstanding job. So thank you, Melinda. Next, I want to thank Candace Dotson-Reed, who is also a committee member for DEI. She has volunteered to host this tonight, and we are just so thankful that she was able to connect us with two phenomenal women who will be our speakers. And again, I thank you, Candace, for your role and connecting us with these speakers. I also want to thank Mary Thompson, who is our events committee chair. She is handling all the behind scenes for this night to make it a success. So thank you, Mary. And finally, I want to thank my amazing advisory board members. These ladies have given their time, their talent, their treasures, and they are absolutely phenomenal. And I am grateful to each and every one of them. I have a few quick housekeeping notes. You've all been muted. That's done automatically. And then our event is being recorded, just so you know. It will be on our website later this week, so you can look for it then. We will have a Q&A at the end. We encourage your questions. Please type them in via the chat function. We will try to answer as many questions as possible tonight. And if there are a few questions that we don't get to, we will try to follow up and answer them for you. Now it is my pleasure to introduce one of the original founders of the Women's Giving Circle, and she is now our executive director, Buffy Bedone-Schwartz. Buffy, take it away.
Thanks, Barb, and good evening, everyone. It's so great to have you here tonight. The Women's Giving Circle is building a community of philanthropists and creating a permanent legacy to address the needs of women and girls in Howard County. We've been part of the community for 18 years, and we are a fund of the Community Foundation of Howard County. And we bring women together to learn about issues that are impacting our community, and we pool our dollars together so we can have a greater impact together than we might otherwise have alone. And we focus our funding on programs that benefit women and girls because they are traditionally underfunded. We've raised over $1 million to support our efforts. We have an endowment, and we've given over $500,000 to our nonprofit partners that support women and girls in our community. This year alone, we've given over $100,000 to the community, half of which have been focused on COVID-19 needs. And in fact, this year we made the decision to expand our grant-making scope for a period of time to address this growing global public health crisis. And flexibility is one of the strengths of our giving circle to be able to do that. We partner with the Community Foundation, the Horizon Foundation, and United Way of Central Maryland to develop something called HOCORespond.com. It's a joint effort to rapidly raise and distribute funds to address COVID-19 needs, including food security, housing, childcare, and healthcare. And since March, together we've given over $400,000 to 31 nonprofit partners in our county to address COVID-19 related needs. And we are going to soon have another round of grant making to continue to do that. Now, you can find out more about the Women's Giving Circle, our current programs, what we're doing, our history, and how you can get involved on our website at womensgivingcircle.org. This year, we've also been working to enhance our core values to better meet our mission by implementing a diversity, equity, and inclusion lens to every aspect of our work. To tell you a little bit more about our DEI efforts, I'd like to welcome Hannah Nassim and Judy Smith, the co-chairs of the Women's Giving Circle of Howard County's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Mary, I think you need to unmute Hannah.
And Judy. Judy starts off
our discussion. Hi, everybody. The DEI committee was stood up this year, May 2020. Our main goal is to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion by integrating it in all aspects of the Women's Giving Circle activities. Most visible are our activities for the month of August, for Black Philanthropy Month, and we'll talk a little bit more about the profiles that are being featured every day, as well as this happy hour, which is the kickoff event for Black Philanthropy Month. We're going to use this set of activities to act as a prototype for future activities like this in the future. All of our activities are built around two main tracks. One track is learn and reflect, and the other track is act and dive deeper. And we did this particularly because we wanted to ensure that our words are aligning with our activities and our deeds. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Hannah.
Thank you, Judy. So I'm going to bring our focus, which is our DEI initiatives are overarching, and we're delving into the past, present, and future, but I really want to focus on this month, August, which we are so pleased as Women's Giving Circle to be recognizing Black Philanthropy Month.
And I you froze.
Judy, maybe you can continue.
Okay. So with our Black Philanthropy Month, we are doing 31 profiles. We are profiling a woman of color every day. And we started on Saturday, August 1st, and with Sharifa Muniz. And then we had Joan Hash, and today our person is Dr. Carlicia Hussein. And we will continue to spotlight and profile someone every day. And you can find these profiles out on our website. Given that, I would like to turn it over to Candace.
Good evening. Thank you. Both to Hannah and Judy for all the work that you're doing with our Diversity and Inclusion Committee. I am honored to host this happy hour conversation as part of Black Philanthropy Month with the Women's Giving Circle of Howard County. I've been a longtime supporter of the WGC, and the other day on our podcast, my co-host Tom Cole asked me why. My answer was twofold. One, I have a daughter, and I've enjoyed showing her throughout the years the power of collective philanthropy by women. And two, you know when you're giving to the WGC that your money is going directly to help women and families in need in our community, and that is important to me. It is also important to me that the WGC has been a financial supporter of Black Philanthropy Month, and I am thrilled to be able to moderate a conversation with two women who I've known for a long time and admire so much. Two women who never seek recognition for their giving. In fact, I was skeptical and worried about asking them to participate in this forum at first, but they both care deeply about the issues that keep many of us up at night and agree to talk a little bit about their giving and why they give. Jackie Rabowski has been a tremendous mentor to many, a philanthropist, and a leader in our community. She has held numerous positions in academia and in the financial arena during her professional career. She is currently an active community volunteer and advocate of mentoring and child development initiatives. She served as a trustee of the T. Rowe Price Foundation and is currently a trustee of the Able Foundation. She is active with several community groups, including Teach for America, Baltimore Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and she recently served as the National Director of Philanthropy of the Lynx Foundation Incorporated. Former board memberships include the Baltimore Women's Giving Circle, Baltimore Education Scholarship Trust, Partners in Excellence, Stocks in the Future, United Way, and the Fund for Educational Excellence. She and her husband Freeman received the Association of Fundraising's Professional of the Year Award for raising $42 million as co-chairs of the 2002 United Way of Central Maryland campaign. She also recently received the National President of the Lynx Incorporated Award for Philanthropy and Fundraising. She resides with her husband Freeman in Owens Mills, Maryland, and they have one married son, Eric, who lives in Atlanta. Cynthia Bell is a God-fearing daughter, sister, wife, philanthropist, and mother of four. She is currently the president of the Columbia, Maryland chapter of Jack and Jill, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, a disciple of First Baptist Church of Guilford in Columbia, Maryland, a member of the DC Hampton University Parents Club, and a very active volunteer with the Howard County Public School System. Her giving spans from education issues to issues in the Black community and broader Howard County community. She resides with her husband, Henry, in Clarksville, Maryland, and they have four children, Haley and Jessica, who are college students, and Heather and Henry, who are in the public schools in Howard County. Welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for joining us. We'll start the conversations with some questions, and then at the end, we'll encourage our guests to add questions to the chat, as Barb mentioned, and I'll ask them at the end of the conversation. The first question, and Jackie, we'll start with you, is what moves you to give your time, talent, and financial resources?
Well, thank you, Candace, for that question. And before I start, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this celebration of Black history. Philanthropy in Black history for the Women's Giving Circle. I am fully aware of the work that you're doing, and I commend you for that. As I said earlier, or you said earlier, I was once a part of the Baltimore City chapter of the Women's Giving Circle. And so I know the power of giving when women collaborate to try to make a difference in their communities. And I especially love the focus that you have tonight on stories. I read through some of the stories that people have posted already and quite inspired by those. We love stories. And as Southerners, you know, we like to hear stories. It's a part of our fabric, our DNA. And they often have to do with the roots of our early childhood experiences. And so I came to appreciate the value of my telling my story when Freeman and I co-chaired the United Way campaign for Central Maryland. We would be called to go out and talk with these various corporations and community groups, trying to get them to commit, to give, to support our communities. And I would tell this story about a childhood experience that shaped my passion for giving. And it's really kind of been the foundation for why I do what I do. So the story is about me, and it goes like this. So I was born in a rural town in Virginia, Southern Virginia, called Warfield in Brunswick County. I went to a three-room elementary school, pot-bellied stoves, outdoor toilets, outdoor pumps where you bring in water. My mother was my first teacher, and she was one of 15 children, the first
and only to get a degree and have her degree in education. My father at that time was a brick mason. And he too later went on and got his degree and also became a teacher. And so as a child, I would follow my parents around in the community, helping people whenever the call came. My dad would be fixing toilets or sink steps or whatever the case might be. My mom would be cooking, and the two of them would be helping and driving people to church or to the courthouse or to encouraging them to vote. And it just became a way of life, something that we kind of expected to do. But you know how teenagers can be. And so one day as a teenager, I challenged my dad when we, you know, got this call, again, go out and do something in the community. And so I said, why do we have to be the ones always giving and helping other people and doing things in the community? Why can't other people do this too? And so my dad paused and he looked at me and he said simply, because we can. Because we can. And so with that, I knew that that was going to be what I would need to follow if I was going to stay in my parents' house. It was going to be a way of life, and I'd better get used to it, and get used to it I did. And so I have attributed that early experience to my passion for wanting to do something to make a difference, to give back for things that matter. Their favorite song was, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain. And that was their mantra. And I guess I have inherited that as well. And so stories and how we are influenced by those early stories, especially as children, can shape our passions for being involved in whatever in our community. And that's my story.
Thank you, Jackie. I love that. That's such a wonderful story. Cynthia, I know you're from the South as well. So tell us a little bit about your story and what moves you to give your time, talent, and financial resources.
Yes. Well, thank you to my dear friend, Candace Dotson-Reed, for that beautiful introduction. Thank you. Also to the Women's Giving Circle of Howard County for providing this platform for women to collectively give to help other women and girls. And for your commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and celebrating Black Philanthropy Month through our giving our stories and providing this platform for us to tell our stories. It's been so enlightening and heartwarming to read the stories of other Black women like myself here in Howard County. A special thank you for hosting this happy hour to kick off Black Philanthropy Month. And wow, what an honor to be a speaker with Mrs. Jackie Hrabowski. She's just told that beautiful story, enlightening us because we can. I think we all need to get face masks with that typed on, because we can. So it's just an honor and privilege to be on here with you, Mrs. Hrabowski. The person given so much to help other people. So thank you. I think this happy hour conversation will help people change their perception of what Black philanthropy is. You know, philanthropy is just such a big word. And when the truth is, we can all be philanthropists, and we all are philanthropists. I know my story. I'm truly blessed. My grandparents and mother raised me. As Candace said, I'm from the South. I grew up in Charlottesville, Virginia, and they raised me to recognize that if you've been blessed, then you are to be a blessing to others. And I've just throughout my life, lived my life to try and be a blessing to others. They always stress the importance of giving a portion of what you have been given to help other people. Given what you have could be money, it could be time. It could be providing a service. Early on, you know, I had more time than I had money, so I gave of my time. And for that, for me, that meant serving as a mentor and with the big brothers and big sisters, and it being a part of reading programs to help students who are struggling with reading, to help them develop reading strategies to become better readers. And, you know, now growing up as an adult, I spent a lot of my time and talent and financial resources. As Candace mentioned, I'm the president of the Columbia chapter of the Jack and Jill of America Incorporated. So I spent a lot of time with that organization right now. Jack and Jill is an organization of mothers who are dedicated to nurturing and bringing up future African-American leaders by strengthening those children through leadership, through volunteer service, through civic giving, and of course, philanthropy, for philanthropic giving. We give piggy banks to the babies when they're two. We start them collecting. We have a loose change program. So we encourage our babies to start collecting loose change to give and to support the Jack and Jill Foundation. And the Jack and Jill Foundation is the philanthropic arm of the organization, and it provides grants and supports programs and services to help children thrive. And the foundation recently created a college gap fund to help with tuition for students attending historically Black colleges and universities. And of course, the local chapter here supports various organizations around Howard County. So that's my story for right now.
Thank you, Cynthia. Wonderful. Appreciate you both. You touched on this a little bit, but I'll ask you if you want to get a little bit more specific. What issues and causes are you passionate about? Because we often talk about, and you both alluded to this in telling your stories, is that, you know, when you're passionate about something, or it's something that you get from your parents or grandparents, that's generally, you know, sort of what you give to, or who you give to, or what issue you find yourself passionate about. And so what issues, causes are you passionate about? Jackie, we'll start with you.
I've always had a passion for education because I saw what my parents would do as teachers to influence and support their students. I saw the difference between people who were privileged to get an education and those who didn't, or those who had the chance or the opportunity to take advantage of it. And quite frankly, at first I was ashamed to tell people of, you know, what kind of school I went to, or even felt that, you know, I was not as well prepared or educated as my peers when I went to college. And really low self-esteem about what I could do and my accomplishments, despite the fact that I did well in school, I made A's and all of that. And so when I got to college, it was, you know, my friends and people like Freeman who just didn't understand how somebody from, you know, whatever background I came from could score higher than he did on the math test. That was certainly for him not something that he would be expecting, especially from a girl, a country girl from Virginia. So anyway, it was, you know, messaging from people that, you know, I met, my peers, my teachers, who said, you can do this, you're smart, you can achieve. And so because of, you know, I guess my background and growing up, I wanted to work with other young folks to help them excel and to exceed and to feel good about being smart, regardless of what background you came from. You don't have to be rich to be smart. And so I would work when I got to college. It kind of broadened my arena around how you work to support youth. When I pledged Delta Sigma Theta and at Hampton University or Hampton Institute at the time, and we would do various things with groups in the community, take veterans, for example, to church, wheel them to church, bring low-income kids to the campus and do activities with them. Kids who had never seen a college campus before, who were 3-4 blocks away from the university. And I saw how those experiences would brighten, you know, their lives, and they'd be full of questions and curious about just life in general. And so at Hampton, I learned to, as our alma mater says, let your life do your thing. So in other words, what you do and how you help and support others, you know, that really matters. And so from those experiences, I have really committed my life to supporting young people and their families. My first career was in teaching in elementary school and high school. And when we first came to Maryland, I taught UMBC. Freeman was at Coppin. I was at UMBC. And I became very interested in supporting young people to be successful, which has led to, I guess, my love for mentoring. So as a part of, I guess, this interest in for people to be their best selves when it comes to getting a degree, everybody can benefit from getting a coach or a guide or somebody to help them. I find that even when I was working at T. Rowe Price and working with managers and supervisors who sometimes have had the best of education, still need guidance and coaching. They want feedback. They want to know, you know, how am I doing? Give me feedback on things that I do well, which is where I always start, because people feel good when you can identify what they do well and amplify it. That's a part of mentoring. And then trying to work with them to overcome or supplement those kinds of things that they could even improve or do better. So mentoring and working with in the area of education, those are two, I guess, integrated areas that we have spent our lives. I have done that especially, and have mentors from early childhood days when I was teaching to professional students. And some that, I guess people ask me how many I have, and I don't count. There's so many that I'm so proud of. One especially who's been getting this message out about this program. Candace, very proud of her for the work that she's done to pull this together. Another, Alicia Wilson, that I met as a freshman, 18 years old, when she first came to UMBC. And I have been her mentor. She was my first scholar, a scholarship program at UMBC. And she's just done a marvelous job of building on her talents and making such an impact in this community. So I'm just so proud to witness all of the successes of students that I've worked with, the people that I've been able to encourage, because in the analysis, I find that I get as much from mentoring others as I get from my support, because it allows me to become personally involved with people. And that's a part of, I guess, what true philanthropy is all about. You know, the giving of yourself and your heart for things that matter to you. And so those are areas that I have invested in, and I still continue to do that. And I probably will till the day I die.
Thank you, Jackie. I've learned a ton from you as your mentee. Cynthia, you touched on this a little bit as well, but what causes and issues are you passionate about?
Well, at a young age, the importance of giving to my church was stressed very heavily to support the church's ministries. And I can remember placing my coins in the collection plate as it moved down the pew. So early on, I gave. And I remember there being two offerings. You know, now I think there's only one, but back when I was growing up, there were two offerings. So there was a general offering, and then the second offering was a benevolent offering. And that second offering to me was the most important, because that's the offering that went to help other people. So as a young child, I donated whatever coins that I had to help other people in that second offering. So that issue, the issues surrounding church, have always been important to me. And as an adult now, I continue to give to my church. As you mentioned, Candace, I'm a member of the First Baptist Church of Guilford. And I also give to other organizations and causes and institutions near and dear to my heart. Education, of course, is important to me. So I find myself giving to my alma mater, the University of Virginia, and giving to Hampton University. Mrs. Robowski is an alum of Hampton, as well as her husband, both alum of Hampton. My husband is as well, and so is his grandfather. And I'm so pleased that my children will be fourth generation Hamptonians. So my oldest daughter, Haley, is a rising senior at Hampton. And my second daughter, Jessica, who just graduated from Appleton High School, will be a freshman at Hampton. And she's starting this week. They both start this week. So we're pleased to give back to Hampton. It's a wonderful place, and it's provided so much for my husband and for my oldest daughter. So I'm happy to give back to Hampton and support the education and those institutions that are so near and so dear to my heart and near and dear to the heart of the people that I love. So I think I answered your question, Ms. Candace.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's wonderful. And it's so awesome that your kids are going to Hampton as well. I know that is important to you and Henry, and I love that. So I have some questions coming in the chat, but before we get to those, let me ask the final question that I have for you all. And that is, what advice do you have for those interested in giving back? Jackie, we'll start with you.
Well, I guess my advice would be around, I guess, three things. First, be authentic. You know, you need to be true to yourself, true to your passion, true to what really, really matters to you. Because people can tell when you're real and when you really care. They're just, as you know, a host of needs in our society and in our communities today. And so you want to choose the things that matter to you most, making the best use of your talents, continue to give your all, whatever you choose, though, understand that there are no quick fixes in these areas that we are working in philanthropy. You know, they've been these issues around poverty and race and whatever the case might be, they're continuing to be there. So this is a journey, a lifelong commitment that you'll need to make. So as Freeman and I always say that, you know, you'll be making some inroads, but understand that success is not final. There's always room for improvement. There are always things that you can do. Second, I would suggest that you learn to listen as much as you speak. So as the Broadway play Hamilton says, you know, talk less, smile more. because you gain an understanding of different perspectives, which helps you to make good decisions, which is a purpose for today's discussion around diversity, equality, and inclusion. It comes together in a way that there's a richer approach, whatever problem you're going to solve, many perspectives. So surround yourself with those who know this craft. This business of philanthropy is not as easy as it seems. People think that, oh, well, I've done my share. It's more than just check writing. It is a way to be engaged and involved, understanding the issues in your community and knowing what other kinds of programs that are out there that are working on similar causes so that you can interact with those so that you can compound the impact around that. So it's important for you to get to know others who are in this field, who spend their lives trying to understand how to make the best decisions in giving to community and worthwhile causes. In your own organization, you have many, many voices and many, many people that you can be listening to that will help you to understand how to be impactful in your giving. So the Buffys and Barb and Candace and all of the ones I heard from today, those are people that you want to be connected with and getting to know. And there's so many more of you who have stories that are worthwhile sharing. And thirdly, I would say that philanthropy, there's no mistake about it, does involve, you do need to be able to make a difference, and people need resources, and money is one of them. And so I would suggest that in addition to giving your money, along with your heart, your time, and your willingness, you want to be smart about how you are using your money and spending your money. So it means that spending some time on financial literacy, learning tools and resources there might be that can help you have more powerful impact on the dollars you give. And so companies offer matching gift programs. There's so many people who leave that money on the table. I know it because I've seen it. Do not take advantage of that. Use the resources that are available to you. There are charitable giving programs that allow you to make a contribution to your own fund, whatever that might be. And if you grow that fund, you can make decisions about who you want to give money to. And I always say it's always much better to give to causes that you believe in than giving it to Uncle Sam. It can help you with your tax write-off. So let's work to be smart about our giving. You don't have to be a millionaire to be a philanthropist. You can start with the little that you have now, make decisions about your long-term journey and how you will use those dollars for the causes that you believe in. And so I just, you know, leave you with that. If you have a good heart and good intentions, speak to others who know this craft and what they're doing and use your money wisely, you'll be the best philanthropist there is.
Wonderful. Cynthia.
Oh my gosh, how do I top that? You've told us everything. I'm sitting here taking notes. You've created so many models that we have tonight, the words of the and themes of the night, Mrs. Hrabowski. I'm working to be smart about my giving and using my money wisely. So thank you for that good advice. But for me, I guess my suggestion would be for people to think about the organizations and the community and the that really make a difference in your life. So think about kind of what has impacted you in your life and start your giving there. There are many organizations in our community that could benefit from your giving, but my advice is to start thinking about your life and what's made a difference in your life and start with your giving right there. An example of that is, you know, my mother is visiting. She's staying with us for a couple of weeks now. My mother has multiple sclerosis. So I know how much the MS Society has meant to her and has done to help her. And I'm happy to support the society financially because they provide valuable resources for people living and battling with MS. And they're working hard to raise funds for scientists to help find a cure. So I, you know, my suggestion is to start with what's important to you. And that's one thing that was very important to me. It's totally impacted my life. And now more than ever before, there are other ways that you can give financially. You can text to give, you can pledge to give over time. And again, I think we've said before that giving does not always have to be financial. We all have gifts that can be used to help other people. And it doesn't take much to positively impact the lives of the people living around us. I think it's important to set an example for my children's generation because they're watching us and they need to see us giving back financially with our money and giving back with our time and using our talents to support organizations. So my advice again is to start with what's made a difference in your life.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful discussion. Before we get into the Q&A, and there are questions coming in and we will get to them, we wanted to highlight your voice and how you responded to the question of what moves you, why do you give? And so here's just a sample of what our guests said about giving. Mm-hmm. We'll give folks a couple of seconds to look at that. Giving is essential to the soul. I mean, yes, sense of community. I've been blessed. I mean, we've heard these themes also in what Jackie and Cynthia have said to us as well. And so we'll get to questions. We have some good ones here, and we'll get to as many as we can. I think we have about 10 minutes for Q&A. The first question, or one of the questions that came in, how can we diversify board membership and get more people from underrepresented communities on nonprofit boards to help influence how charitable dollars are used? And that's for either Jackie or Cynthia or both.
Cynthia, you want to start or you know me?
Well, that's a good question because I'm not on any boards.
Well, I'm going to work with you.
Yeah.
Networking already.
Yeah. I'll share some of my experiences with that. And when I was director of organizational development and training and development with T. Rowe Price, One of the things that I would do with our managers and supervisors is to get them engaged in things other than their discipline. Because they were really good in their little silos of whatever knowledge that they had.
Uh-oh, did we lose Jackie?
She froze.
Did she freeze?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's go to another question and hopefully we can get Jackie back. Cynthia, you touched on this a bit. How can we encourage the future generation of philanthropists?
So our kids are our future. And, you know, recently we've been seeing our kids stand up and speak out about racial injustices. So we're looking to our kids to lead us in the future. So we, in turn, have to provide examples for our children. So one way that you can encourage your children to give back is, you know, have them to start saving their money. And have them, you know, if they don't have a job or they don't work for chores, have them save up their money and have them look for other organizations or groups to support their using their money. You need to stress the importance of giving back to other organizations and giving back of your time and what's in that little piggy bank. So kids feel and see that they're serving and that they're giving back, helping others. Just recently, our family started supporting Columbia Community Care, and I've taken my kids multiple times to go shopping and help deliver food and groceries to people who've been impacted by COVID-19, either through loss of jobs or not being able to work or just being sick, impacted by this virus. So just see allow your kids to see you giving back and then encourage them to use their time and their money as well. So start that little piggy bank for them.
Thank you. And we'll ask maybe one more unless we get Jackie back. How would you recommend prioritizing giving whatever limited funds one may have for charities on a local versus national level? For example, supporting local charities or organizations versus national ones that may have overlapping missions, local, national, or both?
Yeah, for me, I love Howard County, so I like to keep my money here. That's very, very, for me, for prioritizing, I always put Howard County first and then to the national level, but that's just me. I think, you know, I'm here. I want my dollars to stay here. I want it to impact my community in a certain way. And I think you have to do that. And that's just most important, to just start with where you're living. And that's not to say not to support national organizations, because those are important as well. But for me, my priority is supporting Howard County and giving back to Howard County.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's such an important point. And I alluded to that when I started talking, is that, you know, with organizations like the Women's Giving Circle, or you mentioned Columbia Community Cares, you know that what you're giving, whether it be money or with Columbia Community Cares, groceries or whatever, you know that it is impacting your local community. These are our neighbors. These are people who we may see. I remember Melinda Madzell was talking on the podcast the other day, and she said, you know, you never know which one of us is one paycheck away from needing some support and some assistance. And so when you can support locally in Howard County, and again, national organizations are important as well. I do both. But it really, your dollars really go to the community when you're supporting organizations that are local. So it doesn't look like Jackie is back. We only had a couple minutes left for the Q&A. I just want to say thank you again, and hopefully maybe Jackie can see this as a recording, but thank you so much, Cynthia, and thank you so much, Jackie, for agreeing to do this. As I mentioned in the beginning, both of you are you know, sort of private about your giving, and so this was a stretch for me to ask, but I appreciate you coming on and talking about why it's important for you to give and telling us a little bit about your stories.
Thank you, Candace, for facilitating this discussion. You know, I'd do anything for you, so I was happy
to. Thank you. I appreciate that. And with that, I will turn it over to Judy and Henna.
Okay, Henna is going to initiate our poll. Henna's muted. Can someone unmute her? Mary, can you hear me? Candace, can you hear me?
I'm trying to. I can't.
Okay.
I think she might have dropped off because I don't.
Okay. Well, let me just go ahead.
Wait, no, I got her. Here she is.
Okay.
Sorry. I had her unmuted. I don't know what happened.
Hello, everybody. This is Henna. I'm sorry before I dropped out because we had a power outage out here. It was one of my tasks in the beginning was to introduce our moderator and host, Candace. Buffy, thank you for dropping in her bio into the chat. But Candace, thank you so much. I apologize. Out of my control. I think I was going into it and the light started blinking. So thank you so much for inviting our esteemed guests, and thank you for moderating so wonderfully. I hope all of our participants were able to really immerse themselves into the stories, the storytelling, which we, Judy and I, and our DEI committee feel very strongly about. Storytelling is so important to DEI, different perspectives, different points of views. So we really appreciate our guest speakers and Candace for carving out some time to spend some of the evening with us. On your screen is a poll. We wanted to ask you, these are very general concerns and issues that we wanted to hit. If you find something in there that, if you have a specific cause, if you could perhaps find a way to categorize it into one of the six general categories we have. I think it's really important to hear from you. What concerns do you have? What issues are important to you? As a committee, this is important to us. You are a community, we are a part of this community, and it's important for us to know what our community is giving to. So I know the poll's been up. Hopefully everybody's gotten a chance to cast their votes, because we would like to share with you the poll results. Judy?
Okay, our top three, it looks like, is education, human services, and art and culture. Oh, political is high also. Well, thank you all. We are going to use this as input also to kind of focus the efforts that we focus on with our DEI initiatives. Also, if you would like to know some things that you can do to stay connected to us, we would encourage you to engage in our Women's Giving Circle events. We would also ask you to stay informed via our social media, and I'd like to thank Buffy for keeping that up to date and accurate, and all of our events are out there. And also to ask you to support us and to support women and girls throughout the county through our programs, which we have a variety of them. And that information again is on our website. Next slide. So finally, wanted to close out by saying many thanks to our panel. I want to thank each and every one of you for attending today, because without you, this would not be possible. And we will send out some follow-up correspondence. We would like for you to fill in our survey so we can use your input to understand what you would like to see us do, and to use that input to improve our programs. We will continue to celebrate Black History Month with profiles every day through the end of the month. And again, we just want to thank you for attending. I would like to turn it over to Buffy and Barb, if you have any final words.
I certainly agree with Judy. We thank you all for attending. I hope that you have learned some wonderful stories here. And I'm so impressed with both speakers, Cynthia and Jackie. You were fabulous. And it's great to have this many people, this many, I don't know if there are any men, but you know, all the ladies that have come tonight, thank you very much. And we would love to have you become a member. Any donation you make makes you a member of Women's Giving Circle for that year. So we thank you all. Buffy, any other comments?
Yeah, I'd like to echo what everyone said. Candace, as always, you're a fabulous facilitator, and Cynthia and Jackie were wonderful. It's really, you know, as I think Judy and Hannah said earlier, telling our stories is really important. It helps us to understand our relationship to the community, to philanthropy, to others who are thinking about how together we can make a difference. Thanks to everyone who might not know that much about the Women's Giving Circle and decided to join us tonight. And we have put information in the chat function about how to find out more information. The final chat that I put up that you'll see is we're starting something called Membership Mondays, where once a month on a Monday, we're going to host a half an hour Zoom call similar to this to talk a little bit more about the Women's Giving Circle, and for anyone who's interested to both learn about it but ask some questions of a couple of board members. We have the schedule on the events section of our website. We're trying various times from early in the morning to lunchtime and happy hour and evening to try to meet everyone where they may be at. But again, we're here, and if anyone has any questions, we are happy to answer them. This was a lovely event. It looks like Jackie's back. Great to see you. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us tonight.
So we look forward to engaging you in future activities, and I just wanted to say good evening and thank you to everyone.
And please follow us every day on our website, on our social media channels. We have just so many wonderful women that we're profiling every day this month, and we can't wait for you to follow along.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
We're weathering through tonight with the storm and the power outages and everything else.